This Israel report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, Boker Tov, good morning. How are you?
Boker Tov, I have to go back on something that we spoke about yesterday, and I mentioned that the IDF had carried out attacks against a particular hospital in Gaza, looking for members of the Hamas political bureau. And the hospital that I mentioned was Sheba Hospital. Now, one very, very sharp-eared listener pointed out to me that Sheba Hospital is not in Gaza. And, of course, it was a slip of the tongue, or maybe it wasn't, because it's easy to talk about Sheba Hospital when you mean Shifa Hospital.
Gosh, I was wondering, because I didn't pick that up. So well done to whoever that listener was. Well done.
Yeah, of course. Well, Sheba Hospital, of course, is the Israeli hospital in the area of Ramat Gan, also known as Tel HaShomer, which is the eighth best hospital in the world. That is Sheba Hospital. Shifa Hospital, on the other hand, is a very, very well-known hospital now in the Gaza Strip that has housed terrorists and has something of a reputation. Many of our hostages were taken there directly after having been kidnapped. But in fact, the hospital that I wanted to refer to was not even Shifa, but it was, of course, Nasser Hospital, which is the one that was attacked by our forces to get rid of that member of the Hamas political bureau. So thank you for the help in making sure that we get all the facts right. And I apologize for the slip of the tongue and for getting the information incorrect.
Right. Hamas and the Houthis have continued to fire missiles towards Israel. Is it possible to stop these threats?
Well, yesterday we had a combination of missiles being fired both from Gaza and from Yemen. Once again, many Israelis were in their bomb shelters last night as more missiles were being fired from Yemen. I think we were also, if I remember correctly, in our bomb shelters yesterday morning. So there have been quite a number of recent visits to bomb shelters in recent times. Yesterday's incident ended when we understand the IDF managed to intercept the incoming Palestine 2 hypersonic missile that was fired from Yemen, which we still think is probably not hypersonic, but it is ballistic. And we understand that this interception took place over Jordan. So it's interesting that two interceptions that we know of have taken a place over Saudi Arabian territory and now one over Jordanian territory. Israelis are sent to their bomb shelters because it's still impossible to predict where the shrapnel may fall, even if the interceptions are accurate and are carried out. And so it is protocol for many swathes of Israel to be sent to bomb shelters, which is not a light decision to take. It seems like it's the conservative decision. And if you are in doubt, send people to bomb shelters, because that just seems to be the safest option. And yet one has to think about the disruption that's caused by sending people to bomb shelters, especially when it's 4 a.m. in the morning and people being woken up, children and people who have responsible jobs that they need to carry out during the course of the following day and whose sleep is being broken up, elderly people who are being sent to their bomb shelters, potentially having to climb up and down stairs in a hurry, and the anxiety that this causes the nation as people scramble for bomb shelters. Many injuries are reported, with people tripping over and people getting hurt along the way as they scramble to bomb shelters. So the decision to send people to bomb shelters is not insubstantial and is not taken lightly. And yet, it has been found to be appropriate over the last few days to send people to bomb shelters, both for rockets that have come in from Yemen. And of course, yesterday, a few rockets were even fired from Gaza. And so the question is, how do we actually stop this? With the Americans carrying out these substantial attacks against the Houthis in Yemen, and with the IDF being operational in Gaza and carrying out some incredible strikes and incredible intelligence-led operations, how is it that it is might be possible to stop the bombs coming in on Israel? And I think that this is where we have to stop and say, look, maybe a military solution is not the ultimate solution, that we can take care of things militarily for a certain period of time. The way that people are able to obtain ballistic missiles and the way in which they are able to fire ballistic missiles with relative accuracy is these days quite incredible. The ease with which all of this can be achieved is really amazing when you've got a renegade group like the Houthis who have managed to get their hands on so many ballistic missiles and are actually able to fire them with some degree of accuracy towards Israel, or the number of drones that they've managed to launch all the way from Yemen, coming up the Red Sea, somehow finding their way into the skies of Tel Aviv. It's incredible technology, and it seems quite incredible that a group like the Houthis in a place like Yemen would get their hands on this kind of technology. But the reality is that they do, and they can, and they will. And no amount of military operation will ultimately be able to stop them. I mean, we might be able to damage their ability to launch missiles, and we might be able to damage their ability to bring the missiles in from wherever they're importing them. And we might be able to take out senior leadership and swathes of operatives on the ground, terrorists who are being used to fire this. But then we see people firing ballistic missiles off the back of trucks and moving around. We see the very, very simplistic launch sites that are being used to fire missiles towards Israel, which are very, very simple missiles, except that if they fall somewhere, they can kill people, they can cause major damage, they can cause anxiety to the population. And it's a relatively simple little launch site. I saw a few launch sites that were detected in Lebanon over the last week that looked like a little pyramid of sticks, like what you would normally start to light a bushfire with, that kind of an arrangement. That's what the launch site looked like, that is used to launch missiles towards Israel, which can be incredibly dangerous. So I think that ultimately we have to acknowledge that the military operation is just one part of the answer to stopping this. The other part of the answer is to come to an agreement with people. Maybe the military operation sets up the background, sets up the tone for which those discussions will be held. It creates a certain new reality on the ground. It potentially removes certain people's ability, their levers that they may have to demand things in negotiations. But ultimately, if you can't come to some sort of an agreement with people, a verbal agreement, a written agreement, whatever, a political agreement of some sort, then unfortunately, the military operation is not the answer. And the more we go through these activities and this war, the more I think we understand that ultimately you have to sit down and you have to talk and you have to come to some sort of an agreement to make compromises and to stop the missiles from falling on Israel. That's really going to be the ultimate solution.
A terror attack was carried out in northern Israel yesterday that resulted in the death of one man and another being seriously injured. What do we know about this?
Yeah, so this was a terror attack that was carried out yesterday morning, and I'd like to start by saying that this was a terror attack that was carried out by an Israeli Arab. So this is not an attack that's coming from outside of our borders. This is a terror attack that's taking place from within our borders and, of course, reopens that really, really nasty discussion about Israeli Arabs and whether they are loyal citizens of the country or not, and whether they might be used by foreign agents, by foreign terror groups, by terror groups from within our borders in order to carry out terror attacks. And it is an unpleasant discussion that we somehow keep having to think about because of attacks like what happened yesterday that get carried out. So what happened was that this was a a junction near to Yokneam in northern Israel. And we understand that an individual was driving a vehicle and he plowed into a group of people who were standing at a bus stop near to Yokneam yesterday. One a person particularly was badly injured, turns out to have been an IDF soldier who was standing at the bus stop and who was really seriously injured as that ramming attack took place. The individual, the driver of the vehicle, then jumped out and began to stab the IDF soldier numerous times. So he carried a knife and then he took the weapon that the IDF soldier was carrying and he began to use it to shoot at passing cars. And in the process of shooting at cars that were driving past this particular junction, he managed to shoot at a car and kill an 85-year-old passenger in a car that was driving past. So ultimately, we end up with an 85-year-old man who was killed, was a passenger in a passing car, and the soldier who's now been taken to Rambam Hospital in Haifa and who's been very, very seriously injured indeed, rammed in the first instance, then ultimately stabbed numerous times. So he is unfortunately not in good shape at all. And as I keep saying, the war that we're fighting is not only from the north, from Hezbollah, and not only along the Syrian border, and not only along Gaza, where we are fighting against Hamas, and not only against the Houthis, who are firing missiles at us from Yemen, but also against people who are almost within our boundaries. We've got so many terror groups that have been operating from within the Palestinian Authority area, and we also have Israeli Arabs, people who are ID-carrying Israeli citizens who have no limitation in terms of their freedom of movement around Israel, who can go into every institution and who are allowed to visit anywhere that they would wish to visit in Israel without any limitation, without anybody asking them to identify themselves. They are also people who are carrying out attacks against Israelis, and we obviously need to be very mindful of that as we go through this particular operation, and indeed more broadly speaking than that.
Absolutely. Very, very difficult challenge, because it's people living within Israel, and very, very hard to identify where the problem will come from. A terror, the other issue, of course, is the propaganda video that Hamas released yesterday, and we were talking about this a bit earlier. It's a very difficult question for me, and I put it to listeners who clearly are also struggling a little bit with it. Do you think that these videos should be released to the public or not? Tell us, give us your background, your thoughts on this one.
I think there are a few issues which are worthy of discussion that surround this video of Elchana Bochbot and Yosef Chaim Ohana, two of people who, of course, left in Gaza and who've been labeled by Hamas as prisoners number 21 and 22. Why exactly they should be considered to be a prisoner, nobody really would understand. They are hostages. They are innocent civilians. They are not prisoners. But they are being imprisoned as hostages by Hamas. And the whole discussion around whether the video should or should not be released is a decision that is left in the hands of the families of these hostages. Until such time as the families agree that the video can be released for public consumption, they are not released. And I think that that's probably the right place for the decisions to be made. Now, the families have every interest to release these videos because they want to ensure that the discussion about the hostages is at the top of every agenda item around the world. And by releasing these videos, it clearly just draws more attention in. It creates another headline. It creates another reason why the issue of the hostages should be at the top of everybody's agenda. And of course, one of the objectives of the hostage families is to create pressure on the government of Israel to do whatever can be done in order to release these hostages. And it should be noted that the hostage families are very much against the current military operation because they feel that this potentially risks the lives of their loved ones who are still being held as hostages in Gaza. What went through my mind, and I haven't watched this video, and I make a point of not watching the video, even though, of course, it does bring things to my attention. But one of the things that went through my mind is what these guys are thinking as they're making the video, knowing full well that some of their fellow hostages have now been released. And I understand that they even referred and appealed to those hostages who've been released to help them to get released as well. Do they know what efforts are being gone to in order to try to secure their release? Think about yourself languishing in Gaza, not knowing anything about all the efforts that are being made in order to try to release them. People at the United Nations in discussions and negotiations, and Hamas putting their foot down and preventing another round of hostage release. I wonder how much or how little these hostages know about the efforts that have been made in order to make their plight public and to release them. I suspect they don't know anything about it, and hence they are extremely angry because they think they might have been forgotten, that people are not willing to make the relevant compromises in order to secure their release. I'm sure that they have no understanding of anything that's been going on around here.
I also wonder if anything that they say can be believed, not because of them, but because they are being filmed by Hamas. It's not as though they snuck this video out. It was filmed by Hamas and sent, so obviously scripted by Hamas as well. So that also means that they were told to say certain things. So I just wonder if we should be taking any of the words seriously as far as that is concerned. It's a very difficult one. We'll continue to talk about it. Anthony Reich, thank you as always. I see that Mavis says a few pieces of shrapnel from the Houthi missile fell in Beit Shemesh. I hope everybody's okay there. Mavis, thanks for letting us know that. Carol says, one picture speaks a thousand words. It certainly does. You can catch Anthony tomorrow morning at 7:45.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.